Father, we thank you for the way in which you have been ministering to us since we have gathered here this morning. Lord, we thank you for the burdens lifted. Lord, we thank you for the way in which we have experienced your peace and your joy. Thank you, Lord, we have the assurance that you have heard our worship and received our worship and you have responded to our worship. And Lord, as we look into your word, we ask you to continue to speak to us, continue to minister to us. Father, I ask you to give us a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of revelation and understanding and insights. Because, Lord, we know that it's more than just information that we need. Lord, we need, Lord, for you to illuminate your word to us. For you, O God, to open our eyes, to gain spiritual understanding. And so, Lord, I pray, O God, that this morning that you would do more than we could ever ask or think as your word comes forth. Equip us, O God. Edify us. And glorify Christ in us, we pray. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. And amen. So about 3 weeks ago, I shared on what I call the Caleb principles. Caleb principles and it was interesting as we sang this morning and as the word came forth, I remembered the meaning of the name Othniel, which is Lion of God. That this young man, a nephew of Caleb, was called Othniel, Lion of God. And our God set him apart and he got married to Caleb's daughter. And he became the first judge of Israel. Then after that week, Bishop Mott came and he ministered about breakthrough. But one of the things that he did in the midst of his ministry was to highlight the youth and the young people, which I think is also significant. And so today I want to continue to share in a similar line, because one of the things I've discovered over the years, if you want to be effective for the Lord, then look at what God is doing and just join in with what God is doing. And you'll find yourself being effective. And so if God has been speaking to us about the generations and impacting the generations and preparing the generations, then I think it makes only sense for me to continue to flow in that line. So I'm going to share about the impact of generational patterns. And you have an outline there. I will modify that outline somewhat as we go through. But that's the general direction that we are taking this morning. So my first thing I want to highlight for us and to remind us is that Satan is after you and after your kids. He's after you, he's after the generations. The scripture describes him as a murderer. 1 John 3, verse 11. This is what John says in his little letter here. He says, "This is a message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous." So John the Apostle, gaining insights from the Spirit of God, showed us some things about what was happening with Cain and Abel. And he describes Cain as belonging to the evil one who murdered his brother. Why? Because his brother's actions were righteous. Simply because his brother did the right thing and was accepted by God. And Cain didn't do the right thing. And so his sacrifice was not accepted by God. He got angry and killed his own brother. And that there shows us the way the enemy seeks to function. He comes, according to Jesus in John. Jesus calls him the thief. John 10, verse 10. And he says, "A thief comes only to steal to kill and to destroy. So he describes Satan here as a thief. He comes to steal from you and from me, steal our peace, our joy, whatever God gives us, steal our children. And doing so, he will kill them, he will destroy them, do whatever he needs to do. That's Satan's strategy. That's his goal. In John 8, Jesus calls him a liar. John 8:44, he says to people around him, to the Pharisees, you belong to your father, the devil. You want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, going back to Cain. Not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he's a liar and the father of lies. So Satan's a liar, a thief, a murderer, and he comes after you and comes after me. He's trying to destroy you, he's trying to destroy generations, destroy our children. And since he's a father of lies, I give you a hint. Anything you hear today that's a lie, I can tell you the source of it. Because father of lies means he's the source of all the lies. So the lies that tell people that, listen, you can decide which gender you want to be, I know the source of that. That's a father of lies. You see? The lie that says, well, you know, marriage can be redefined, I know the source of it because he's a father of lies. And each one of these things, the enemy spins for the world to believe because he's trying to destroy the generations. And so I'm sure many of you are aware that even our schools, they're trying to teach our children all sort of lies. It's amazing they don't want to teach the Bible, because the Bible is the truth. But they want to teach these lies. And so you and I, we need to be aware as to how the enemy operates, how he functions, because we need to be ahead of him. We need to be proactive. Whether you realize it or not, we are caught in the middle of spiritual warfare. And so we can't sit back and relax. Those days are well gone. They might have been back in the 1950s. I don't know when. But the days of sitting back and relaxing, well, I've sent my kids to school, they're all right. Those days are over. These are the days when, as adults, you and I have to be on our P's and Q's. You and I have to be watching over our children so we can respond to the lies by telling them the truth, teaching them the truth of God's word. In fact, we don't even need to respond. We need to teach them the truth from long beforehand because we are proactive. Because when you know the truth and the lie comes along, you say, no, that's not true. You say, miss, I don't know where you get that from, but this is what I've been told. It's what the Bible says. In the beginning, God created Adam and Eve. God made them male and female. Where you got your source from? So it's important for us to realize what's going on. Satan is the one, I put here in my notes, who is behind this abortion thing. How many realize that? He's a murderer from the beginning. So he inspires people to believe, well, it's my choice. Yes, it's your choice to commit murder. You're listening to the father of lies. He inspired Pharaoh back in Genesis chapter 1 to tell the midwives, as soon as these boys are born, to kill them. Why? He was scared. The father of lies and a murderer from the beginning. He's the one who introduced in pagan worship this idea of sacrificing your children in the fire to the god Molech. The father of lies. And so what we have now is a sacrifice of our children to the god of convenience or to my, or how I feel, the god of my choice. But it's still the same devil who is at work trying to destroy the generations. But Christ has come that we might have life and that others might have life and experience the abundant type of lies. Satan tries to destroy marriages and to give it all different types of names or different types of marriages, trying to destroy what God originally created, because you and I, we all know from Ephesians 5 that marriage between a man and a woman reflects the relationship between God and his church. And he's trying to destroy all of that. And then he tries to silence the children from worshiping God and declaring the goodness of God, just like the scribes and the Pharisees did when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. And the children were waving palm branches and declaring, "Hosanna in the highest." And they were saying to the Lord, "Don't you hear what they're saying? Silence the children." And that's why I encourage us here and encourage whoever would hear me. Allow the children to worship God. Allow the children to magnify his name. Allow him to allow them to understand that God is to be worshipped. So that's my first thing I wanted to highlight for us and to remind us that Satan's is after you and after your children and after your children's children. And he will never tire at doing that. That's his goal. So you and I have to be involved. We have to be engaged. The second thing, looking at some of the generations through scripture, you will see that Satan understands some principles. And so he tries to start in one generation by creating havoc, creating evil, knowing that if these things are not stopped early, they will spread to the generations below. And so we see in the book of Genesis that after Cain, who was belonging to the evil one, after he did his sinful deeds, that his generations, and I've listed them there in the outline for you, his generation continue a path of evil. Coming right down to Lamech, who says that I killed a man for wounding me. And if Cain has been judged 7 times, I should be judged 77 times. That godlessness increases in the generations. What God had a plan, because God had said in Genesis 3 that from the seed of the woman, he would raise up someone to crush the head of the serpent. And so God gave Adam and Eve another child called Seth. And the Bible says in Genesis 4 that when Seth came on the scene, then men and women started to call upon the name of the Lord. And if you look through Genesis, you'll see that from the line of Seth came a godly generation that set a standard that was passed on through the generations. And so this becomes important for you and for me. We're talking about the impact of generational patterns. That the way you live your life can set a standard for the generations to come. That's one of the reasons why Satan is after you and after me. Because if he can get you and I to mess up and play around and be the fool, he knows it can affect the next generations. And so you and I need to be aware of that, how we live our lives. And so from the line of Seth came Enoch. Several generations later, the Bible tells us that Enoch walked with God and was taken. Enoch had a godly heritage that he called upon, that caused him to grow closer and closer to the Lord. And from the line of Seth came Noah. When men were so evil, the Bible says that Noah found favor in the sight of God. Noah had a godly heritage that he pulled from. He could look back and understand that, you know, my great-grandfather, my grandfather, Enoch, walked with God. So there is something to this relationship with God. And so you can see a line of godliness and a line of ungodliness in the scripture. I spent some time looking at the book of Kings and saw some of the lines of godliness and ungodliness. And in the notes I've given you there, I sought to use different, I use boldness or bold print for the godly kings and regular print for the kings who weren't so godly. And the first one I have there is Rehoboam. He was a son of Solomon, who was a son of David. And many of you know that, you know, David had non-Jewish wives, at least one, and several wives. And then Solomon came after him, and Solomon had a lot of foreign wives. Solomon started out good, built the temple, but later on in his older age, his foreign wives led him astray. And he established idolatry in Israel. And so his son comes along, Rehoboam. And Rehoboam, according to the scriptures, followed in the ways of the negative ways of Solomon. He did some good things. But 2 Chronicles 12 and verse 14 summarizes Rehoboam's life. 2 Chronicles 12, 13 says, King Rehoboam established himself firmly in Jerusalem and continued as king. He was 41 years old when he became king, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city of the Lord, the city of the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel in which to put his name. His mother's name was Naamah. She was a Ammonite. She was a non-Jewish person. And this is what the Bible says about Rehoboam in verse 14. He did evil. Why? Because he had not set his heart on seeking the Lord. Listen to me, church. This is a very, very important point. God is looking for people who will set their hearts on seeking the Lord. Amen. You see? And if this man was considered to do evil because he didn't set his heart on seeking the Lord, what I meant was that his heart was there for the enemy to use to do all sort of stuff. So he increased idolatry in Israel. He did all sort of stuff. But the summary was that his heart was not set on seeking the Lord. Church, for you and I to experience victory and to pass it on to our children, God is looking for us to have a heart that will seek after him. You follow what I'm saying? No excuses. That's the first and most important thing. If you don't hear anything else I say today, just hear this. God is looking for us to have a heart that will seek him and him alone. And if that is your legacy, you have done what God wants from you. You follow what I'm saying? If that is your legacy, if you don't have any money, if you don't have any property, whatever, as long as you set your heart to seek the Lord and follow through, that's the greatest legacy you can leave behind. That's why they talk about David, a man whose heart was after the Lord. He messed up, but because his heart was after the Lord, he got his life right. And it says in the New Testament that he pleased God. He fulfilled the purpose of God in his generation because his heart was after the Lord. And so because he was like that, his son, Abijah, did evil in the sight of the Lord. Continued to do evil. But God had a plan. Because in the midst of an ungodly generation, midst of ungodly patterns, there was one man named Asa who stood against the grain, who did something tremendous. Well, let me read 1 Kings 15 first. 1 Kings 15, verses 1, 2, and 3. Just say what I'm saying about Abijah. In the 18th year of the reign of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, Abijah became king of Judah. And he reigned in Jerusalem 3 years. His mother's name was Maacah, daughter of Abishalom. He committed all the sins his father had done before him. His heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his forefather had been. Simple statement. Followed in the sinful pattern of his father. Verse 5 says, for David had done what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and had not failed to keep any of the Lord's commands all the days of his life, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite. So the writer here is not trying to say he was a perfect man, but you're saying, yeah, he messed up, but you know what? He got his life right with the Lord, and so as far as God is concerned, he lived the way he's supposed to live. So God is not calling you and I to live this perfect, sinless life, but he's looking for us to have a heart that's after him, so that even when we fail and mess up, we'll rise up and repent and keep seeking the Lord. Verse 8 of 1 Kings 15. And Abijah rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, and Asa, his son, succeeded him as king. Verse 11. Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as his father David has done. What did he do? He expelled male shrine prostitutes from the land, got rid of all the idols his father had made. He even deposed his grandmother, Maacah, from the position as queen mother, because she had made a repulsive Asherah pole. Asa cut the pole down and burned it in the Kidron Valley. Verse 14, although he did not remove the high places, Asa's heart was fully committed to the Lord all his life. Now Asa later on in his life messed up, but it seemed as if perhaps in the end he repented. He messed up in that he went to war and sought help from others rather than from the Lord. And so he got disease in his feet. But somewhere along the line he must have turned his life around, because the Bible says that he pleased God. But what I like about this young man is that he said, you know what, my mother, my father, I don't care who they are, but what they did was wrong in the sight of God. And so he decided to establish a new pattern. He decided to cleanse his nation. And so he removed all of the male prostitutes, in other words, homosexuals, if you don't understand what I'm just talking about. Pulled down all the idols his own father had made. His grandmother set up herself and set up all sort of ungodly things and idol worship. And this young man is like, I don't care who you are, but what you're doing is wrong. And he removed her from her position. Can you imagine how much courage it took this young man to remove his own grandmother from those positions? And one of the things I want us to appreciate, saints, is that you and I need to establish godly patterns for those who will come after us. And no matter what it is, we need to pull down anything that has been established in our lives, anything that is there that is not godly, we need to pull down. We need to remove. What a young man. And so after Asa, his son followed in the name of the Lord, followed in the ways of the Lord, Jehoshaphat. He set up a godly pattern for those who are to come after him. I ask myself and I ask you, are you setting a godly pattern for those who come after you? When they look at my life, when they look at your life, can they see somebody whose heart is set solely on following the Lord and to remove everything and anything that's in the way of following the Lord? Can they see someone who will stand upon the truth of God's word and not compromise? Or are we so wishy-washy? Well, you know, if they choose to have two people of the same gender living together and they are so-called married, maybe it's okay. Or do we say, well, that's not what the word of God says? I'm just throwing these things up because sin tends to increase in the succeeding generations. Unless there's an intervention by God. Unless a man or a woman stands in the gap and says, no, enough is enough. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. These are serious times, church. The war is on. All over the place. If you pay attention to the news. There was a time I took my kids to Disney for them to enjoy it. And now it seems as if Disney is a hub for lies. How many of you understand what I'm saying? So my second point is that you and I need to establish godly patterns in all and every area of our lives. Now Joseph had a son named Jehoram. He came from an ungodly line. His ancestor was Omri, who did evil in the sight of the Lord according to the scriptures. Omri's son, the Bible says about Omri that he did more evil than anybody before him. Omri's son was Ahab. And the Bible says concerning Ahab that he did more evil than anybody before him, did more than his father, in other words. And many of you might know about Ahab. We don't have time to go into him. Ahab had several children. And his children also did evil. Ahaziah, he became king, and the Bible says he did evil in the sight of the Lord. His brother became king after him, Joram, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He had a daughter named Athaliah. Oh, my Lord. Let me read 1 Kings 22, verse 51 first. Ahaziah, son of Ahab, became king of Israel in Samaria. This is verse 51. In the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and he reigned over Israel 2 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord because what? He walked in the ways of his father and mother, of Ahab and Jezebel. And in the ways of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who caused Israel to sin. He served and worshipped Baal and provoked the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger, just as his father had done. And notice it says he walked in the ways. It's more than just doing something. There's a way. There are ways to your life and to my life. It's more than what we say. It's how we live in every area of our life. That people are looking on, the next generation, the children and the children around them, they are looking on and look at our ways. And it says about this man, he walked in the ways of his father and mother. My goodness. Oh, help us. So, Ahab had a daughter named Athaliah. Jehoshaphat down in the south, in the southern kingdom, he's a godly man, following after his father, Asa. But he had a son, Jehoram. And it turns out, unfortunately for Jehoram, he got married to the daughter of Ahab. 2 Kings 8 and verse 18. Verse 16 says of chapter 8, in the 5th year of Joram, son of Ahab, king of Israel, when Jehoshaphat was king of Judah, Jehoram, son of Jehoshaphat, began his reign as king of Judah. He was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years. He walked in the ways of the king of Israel, the ungodly kings, as the house of Ahab had done. And it says why? Because he married a daughter of Ahab, and he did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Here's a young man coming from a good family. His father loved the Lord. His father, as far as God is concerned, is pleasing. But he got friendly with somebody who was ungodly. I think I mentioned this when I talked about Caleb. We need to be careful of those that we have close around us, our best friends and others, because they can influence for good or for evil. Here was a young man on the right path, and the devil sent this daughter of Ahab into his life. And so this daughter of Ahab led this man astray, Athaliah. And he did evil in the eyes of God. My goodness. Be careful who your friends are. Be careful who are the friends of your children.
watch over them like a hawk. Because the enemy will plant people in their lives to lead them astray. These are not the days when they can sit back and relax. You got to know who is your friend, what took place when they went to this picnic. You need to be able to talk to them and understand what's happening to your in their lives. How many of you understand what I'm saying? And this woman was a wicked woman. It actually calls her that in 2 Chronicles. Because she had a son that he became king and she advised him and he did evil. He didn't last long. He lasted about a year or so. And then she decided, you know what? I'm going to become queen. 2 Kings chapter 11 and verse 1. And when Athaliah, the mother of Azaziah, saw that her son was dead, she proceeded to destroy the whole royal family. Kill all of them, because I want to be queen. Kill all of her grandchildren. These are serious things, saints. And God was the one who intervened and speared one of the grandsons, Joash, speared him. Caused him to be raised in the temple by the priests. And so Joash, after 6 years of hiding out, the priest took control and the priest was able to organize so that Athaliah was put to death and Joash became king. And as long as the priest was there, Joash did good things in the sight of the Lord. And when the priest died, then Joash was led astray. Be careful of the influences in your life and the life of your children. Many of you know the story of Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards, the mighty evangelist that God used in the first Great Awakening. Sermon well known, sinners in the hand of an angry God. He lived 1703 to 1758. Let me read something about Jonathan Edwards from a book by Robert Ward. He said, the Edwards had 11 children. Evening, Jonathan helped them with their school lessons and listen to the adventures of the day. At the conclusion, he prayed a blessing over each child. Every house, he said, should be a little church. In high demand as a speaker outside his own parish, whenever he left town for other engagements, one of his children always accompanied him. This man was planting seeds. This man was raising his family. He was praying over each one of his children. He made time for them. He took at least one child with him when he was going on his trips. Edward's daughter, Esther, once wrote in her diary, "Last eve, I had a free discourse with my father. I opened my difficulties to him very freely, and he has freely advised and directed. The conversation has removed some distressing doubts that discouraged me in my Christian warfare," like the term she used. "He gave me some excellent directions that tend to keep the soul near to God as well as others, to be observed in a more public way. What a mercy that I have such a father." Edward's children all turned out well, as did their posterity. So he had such a relationship with his children that when this daughter of hers had some questions, she could go and ask her father. And he had the time to share the answers to her questions. And this is in the 1700s, how much more today? Where things are happening so quickly to our children with smartphones. You and I have to be available. You and I have to find out how your day went. You and I have to know who are your friends and what have they been saying. So we can nip things in the bud, saints. How many understand what I'm saying? We're seeking to raise up a godly generation. We can't wait until the seeds plant and you have a big tree and then know you're trying to chop down this big tree and wonder why you have all of these problems. Nip it in the bud. Hello, anybody out there? Jonathan Edwards' legacy includes one U.S. vice president, one dean of a law school, one dean of a medical school, three U.S. senators, three governors, three mayors, 13 college presidents, 30 judges, 60 doctors, 65 professors, 75 military officers, 80 public office holders, 100 attorneys, 100 clergymen, 60 authors, and 285 college graduates. It is said that there was another man who lived in the time of Edwards, Max Jukes. He was an atheist. And his descendants included 7 murderers, 60 thieves, 190 prostitutes, 150 other convicts, 310 paupers, 440 who were physically wrecked by addiction to alcohol. Lived in the same time. But he was an ungodly man, and that's the ungodly line that came from him. And Jonathan was a godly man who took time to disciple his family, to input into his family. Look at the lineage that came from him. It's not just in the Bible, but it's there all around us. And so if you and I want to leave a legacy that will impact the next generation and generations after that, you and I have to be careful how we live our lives so they can follow you and I in every way, in every area of our lives and see godliness. You and I have to be available to spot things, to deal with them, to answer questions. You know, David, King David, he messed up. And because of his time when he messed up, one sin led to another. But you know where it started? It says in the time when kings, in the time of spring, when the kings go to war, David stayed at home. He's a king, he's supposed to be going out to war. And where is he? At home. What's he doing at home? Something was already wrong in David's heart. And just that period of his heart not being right created so much havoc, so much sin, death and all sort of stuff, murder, that it impacted David's own children. All sort of conflicts in his family, murder and incest. Rebellion. 3 of David's sons died young. People around his sons to give them bad advice. Amnon taken over by all sort of ungodly passions. And it seems like a nephew or some relative of David is there to give this young man ungodly advice as to how he can do evil. And as I was reflecting on it, I'm like, Lord, send some godly people around my children Because they can't afford to have ungodly people around them, giving them ungodly advice. To wreck their lives and the lives of others. But David, I put here in my notes, he failed in one of the ways was to correct his children, communicating to his children. So as I bring this thing to a close, I'm going to ask Sean to come on back. Let me just summarize some things for us. One, Satan is after you and after your children, after the generations. And he knows that if he can get them young, that's the time to get them. Just like Pharaoh, who when he couldn't destroy them, then he says, you can go and worship, but leave the children behind. Two, you and I need to live our lives and seek God with an undivided heart. Seek him wholeheartedly. That's the greatest legacy you and I can leave behind. Because if our hearts are not fully devoted to the Lord, it's easy for Satan to plant things. It's easy for sin to creep in. Third, you and I need to uproot ungodly patterns. Take a stand against them like Asa did. And establish new godly patterns for children to follow in every area of our lives. Four, be careful who gives your children advice. Be careful of who are their best friends. Pray that God will put around them people who give them godly advice. And you as parents need to intervene. You as grandparents need to intervene. Who's that young man? Who's that girl? But I want to give them their space. Yeah, but you need to still know who is giving them advice. Who's enticing them to do good things versus bad things. And the last thing I want to say is that you and I need to learn to pray and watch over children and uproot ungodly things spiritually. To pull down strongholds spiritually. And break curses where curses need to be broken, because some of these ungodly patterns have curses that follow along with them. We don't have time to go into curses today. But you'll see the pattern of sin increasing. In the times of David, might have been idolatry. Today, it's all sort of stuff. It will increase. And as you break these ungodly patterns, as you break curses, then you also need to release the good things, release the blessings of Almighty God. Just as when God brought them out of Egypt, he told Aaron and the priests in Numbers 6 to bless the people. Just like Jonathan Edwards did. He prayed a blessing over each child as he finished his day with them, as he finished time with them, spending time with them, praying over them. Let us stand. We're talking about impacting the generations, establishing godly patterns and uprooting ungodly ones. Looking at your forefathers, and if you see ungodly patterns, make sure you break them, that they don't pass through you to your children. If your forefathers, if your mother or father was lukewarm, you just decide, I'm not going to be lukewarm. That's not godly. That's ungodly, actually. I'm not in any way going to pass on anything that is not godly to my children. I want to pray for three groups this morning. Three groups. The first group are the grandparents. The grandparents and those that have, maybe it's a grandnephew or grandniece or whatever. Can I see the hands of those folks in this house? Because you have a crucial role to play to impact not just for your children, but the children, your grandchildren, and the great-grandchildren after that. David's impact spread many generations. Father, I thank you for these grandparents and great-grandparents that are in this house this morning. Lord, I thank you for the godly things you have deposited into their lives. And Father, I pray, oh God, you might show them the impact that they can have on, in the lives of their grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Father, help them to see the place of prayer. Help them to see the place, oh God, of speaking the truth into the lives of their children and their great-grandchildren, oh God. Father, help them to see that you have caused them to be alive for such a time as this. And Father, I pray, oh God, that their lives will reflect that the fact that they know you and they're seeking you wholeheartedly. Father, let them be the heroes to their grandchildren, oh God, the godly heroes. Let these grandchildren and great-grandchildren be able to say, at least I know grandma and grandpa know Jesus and are passionate about him. Let their lives be of such that the grandchildren can come to them with any question, knowing that they'll get the truth in the answer. Lord, let the love that flow from the grandparents of God impact the grandchildren and great-grandchildren. In the name of Jesus Christ. The next set I want to pray for are the parents. Because they have a great challenge before them. In this world of technology that the enemy uses to come against the children day in and day out, where you have to be, quote unquote, the good guy to set parameters for your children. The good guy to say you can only be on the internet for so long. The good guy to put programs on your phone, but knowing that the enemy will still find ways around all of these things, and they can put an app within an app and all sort of stuff. You have to be on your P's and Q's. I'm going to ask the parents to come forward. Come, parents. You're on the battlefield for your children. The next generation depends upon you. Can you guys just raise your hands to the Lord? Father, I thank you for these parents that are in the house today. That we thank you for the parents who might be participating online. Father, I pray that these parents, oh God, might be strong. Might be strong like Asa, oh God. That no matter what it takes, that Father, they'd pull down everything negative that the enemy would seek to raise up in the lives of their children. Father, I pray that these parents, oh God, might be vigilant. That Father, they might give them spiritual discernment to sense, oh God, when things are right and to sense when things are not right. Father, help them to see, oh God, when something is missing. Lord, help them to see when the enemy has been bringing the wrong people into the path of their children and to know how to take a stand, how to break things off, oh God. Father, I pray for fresh anointing and fresh grace upon these parents, oh God. Sometimes, oh God, they get tired. Sometimes, oh God, they get weary. But Father, I pray that you might strengthen them with might in the inner man. Lord, I pray, God, you might cause your spirits to arise and to soar with wings of eagles, oh God. Father, I pray that, Lord, indeed, the lion inside of each one of his parents, oh God, would arise with a roar, oh God, over their children in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that none of the parents here, oh God, would lose their child to the enemy. In the name of Jesus. But Lord, I pray that every parent here, that they will see their children come to know Christ and to know him with a passion. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray they would so equip their children that their children would bring revival to their peers. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, mighty God. Watch over these parents. Watch over their children, mighty. Go and be a spirit upon these parents and upon their children. Let their household, oh God, be a little church in the name of Jesus Christ.
Let it be so, Jesus. Oh, let it be so.
Lord, give the parents your courage. and boldness, mighty God, as they watch over their children, as they raise this generation of warriors. Give them courage, give them boldness, give them insights. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord.
Bless them, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for this privilege. But thank you, Lord, that your spirit is there to help them to be effective and successful. In the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. Now the next set are those that are under 20. All the young people that are under 20, come on up. And Becca and Jordan, this is now your assignment to pray for these young ones. All of those that are under 20, come on up. The battle is yours to reach your generation. The battle is yours to stand wherever you might find yourself, whether you're homeschool or in a public school, there's still a battle going on. So you can't take it easy. I know many who are homeschooled who are not walking with the Lord today as they should. So the battle is still fierce. But I believe God is raising up a generation. I think things are happening in the spiritual dimension. Things are happening. The send is coming in May 14. God has raised up a generation to take forth this gospel. And you don't want to be left behind looking on. You want to be a part of what God is doing. So I'm going to ask Jordan or Becca, one of you, come and pray over these young people. Please.
You guys lift your hands. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for these young people. God, we thank you for the work that you're doing in their lives. God, I pray that from the time they wake up until the time they lay down, God, that you're before them, Father, that they serve you, Jesus, in every area of their life. God, I just thank you for what you're doing, Father, within this group right here. Jesus, I just ask that the Holy Spirit would empower them this morning, Father, that when the enemy comes and tries to distract them, Father, through means of other people or friends or whatever, God, that you would let them stay strong, Father, and hold on to what you've given them. Beck.
Oh, I pray that they would accept no counterfeit. That they would know the truth so well, God, that when the counterfeit shows up, they can easily just say, no, you are not the truth. That is not who I serve. That their hearts would be so tender to your voice and that their feet would be so quick to run and obey every single word that you've spoken to them. I pray that their ears would be open in the night as they sleep. I pray that their hearts would just be turned toward you in such a way, God, that they can just let go of everything that's hanging on and pulling them down, and they could run freely toward you and bring others with them. I pray that their light would just be so bright in their schools and in their homes that people are attracted to it. And they would seek you and find you with their whole heart in everything. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. You can go back to your seat. Give a song, Sean.
Hear us from heaven. 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 Hear us from heaven.
Thank you. Lord, we thank you for what you're saying to us. We thank you for what you're doing in us. We thank you for what you're doing outside of this local church, oh God.
Lord, we thank you that you have called us to be led by your Spirit. You have called us to be filled with your Spirit. You have called us to be people of your Spirit. And so, Lord, I pray for parents and grandparents and children and great-grandchildren, Lord, that you might equip all of us to fulfill your purpose in our generation. Lord, I pray for those who are participating online, that, Lord, you might also anoint them and equip them to impact their families, to impact their generation, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, I pray that your Spirit might continue to move amongst us, continue to draw us unto yourself, continue to speak into our hearts, continue to open our eyes, that we might see what you're doing, and we might also recognize where the enemy is trying to invade our lives and invade our space. Father, we thank you that you have called all of us to be like Christ, to be like the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So Lord, as we leave here, Lord, I pray you might continue to go with us. Lord, that your grace might continue to increase in our lives. That, Father, your love might flow through us. That as we interact with people, you might sense the love of Christ and the presence of Christ in us and through us. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said,